What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And in The Stack, we talk about a bunch of comic books that have come out this very Wednesday, the Woo-hoo! Most beautiful Wednesday of the month, because it's the second Wednesday of the month.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
I don't sure think does. That makes
Alex,
sense.
I like to think that every Wednesday is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hashtag all Wednesdays matter.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
All comic books matter.
Speaking of which, let's get to some comic book reviews. And there's no justice in the world because the first one we're going to talk about is Justice League No Justice number one from DC Comics. Now, this is the start of a relaunch of the Justice League by Scott Snyder and company. This is coming out of the events of Dark Knight's Metal, eventually leading into the new status quo for the Justice League teams, four-issue miniseries. You also got a little bit of a taste of it if you picked up DC Nation number zero last week. What do you guys think? Are you excited about this take, excited about this comic book?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Okay. Starting off with a little patented Pete negativity.
I thought you might like this.
Yeah? I mean, the art is fantastic. I love the panel designs. I thought that was cool. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe it's because Krypton has ruined me from on Brainiac and
Krypton the TV show, or your trip to Krypton.
Krypton the TV show.
How was that, by the way? Your trip.
I don't want to talk about it. I got stuck in the fucking Phantom Zone.
Oh man, bad news. Well, your parents put you in a rocket ship and sent you to space, and our planet wasn't even blowing up.
Yeah, that's true. They what?
Go, my only son. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
What do you think about this, Justin?
I mean, it has a little bit of it feels like a lot of other relaunches in a lot of ways. We're setting up here are the good guys we're dealing with. Here are the bad guys we're dealing with. They don't like each other. It does feel a little more Marvel-y than some other DC relaunches. I like that, actually.
Well, to the point, and people have pointed this out online a little bit, but Avengers relaunch with a bunch of enormous space gods attacking the Earth, bringing the Avengers back together. Here, we're getting a bunch of enormous space gods attacking the Earth, bringing the Justice League back together. Is that a problem for you? Do you have an issue with the parallel storylines?
I mean, it doesn't seem very creative to me, but I don't know what it was, but I tried to read this, I read it, and I kept stopping because I was not enjoying myself, which is weird. I have fun reading comic books. I don't know if it's just we've seen it all or whatever, but I love the art, but I don't know. I just wasn't feeling this comic.
Yeah. I mean, to compare it to the Avengers relaunch book from last week, that at least had some. That was almost more of a DC relaunch with a lot of the legacy focus. Mm-hmm. So it's an odd sort of using the same type of story and flipping sort of the take. Yeah. So I was more interested in the legacy portion of the Marvel universe they're trying to establish with the early Avengers featuring the Spirit of Vengeance, the Phoenix, and Odin instead of Thor. That to me is fun and interesting and feels new. This feels like we can do it. We have Bendis now. Let's do Marvel here.
Sure. I see what you're saying. I think I liked it a little better than you guys. I like having the Justice League be the forefront of the DC universe. I feel like it should be the premier title in the DC universe. So that is what I feel like this miniseries is getting us towards. So I'm excited about those first steps, but we'll see where it goes. Let's move on to another relaunch, Venom number one from Marvel Comics. Pete, you took that trip to that symbiote planet, right?
I did.
Kryltar or whatever it was. Also like Krypton.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think about this? This is a big relaunch from Donny Cates, who recently did such a great job on Doctor Strange and on Thanos. How'd you feel about this book?
Now, this was, I'm a sucker for Venom. I don't know what it is, but I kind of liked this take on it where, okay, you think you know what's going on, but then you don't. There's this whole other side to the Venoms, which I thought was very interesting. I also loved the badass guy who was like, oh, yeah, you think you know your symbiote? What's its name? I was like, oh, this is crazy.
They have names?
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
I actually love this. I am not a real Venom head. But I thought this was such a good, that line specifically, what's your symbiote's name? I thought that was such a great thought and a great take.
What if you've been like, it's Josh?
Yeah.
Caillou.
No one calls me Josh anymore. I'm not just a fun suit. Pete, by the way, how do you get your symbiote to just be a hoodie?
Dude, I don't want to talk to you about what I've
What's your symbiote's name?
My symbiote's name is Alex.
Whoa. Yeah. Twist.
Yeah. That's just because I like lying on top of him.
Yes.
Weird.
I said that in a
also,
weird way.
I really like the art in this book.
Art was great. I like the backstory they're establishing that there have been other symbiotes on Earth, and they were used as part of the super soldier program. It's interesting to see Eddie Brock back in the Venom suit. Flash Thompson was Venom for so long, and he gives it a little bit more of like an edge, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Eddie's been in the suit for a little while now.
Yeah,
at least
I haven't been reading that lately, I should say.
But I did like the shout out there. There's a point when the soldier guy attacks Venom and says, "On your feet, soldier." Well, you're not Flash Thompson. So I like that tinge of history there.
That was cool.
My favorite part about the book is it did a really good job of mixing superheroics and horror, which is hard to do.
But that's very much where what Venom lives in, you know? So I liked it.
Yeah, literally sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Definitely pick up Venom. Moving on to another big launch, this time from Valiant Comics, Harbinger Wars 2, number one. Now, we talked a little bit about the Prelude issue on the last episode of The Stack. Pete and I were both big fans of it. How do you feel about this? This is the official kickoff of the biggest event in the history of the Valiant universe. Justin, I'm curious to get your take, particularly because we didn't hear from you on the Prelude issue.
I like this. It reminds me, like, with all the comics from Marvel and DC, like the Justice League and Avengers relaunches, they're so sprawling that there's no real like guardrails on it. So the story's sort of just like everywhere, and it's like, what's this about? With this, because the universe is so tight, you sort of feel every character in it, and I really like that. It reminds me of the Ultraverse from back in the day, which I talk about a lot.
Yeah, you love that.
I love that, yeah. I feel like I was reading that, like, right in that sweet spot of comic book fandom where you're a kid and you're just like, oh, my God, I got to get to the store as fast as I can. But anyway, this
that was me with the original Action Comics.
Action Comics number one. Oh, yeah, I know.
And I picked that up when I was a kid. I was like, wow, this is keen.
That means you're 90.
92. Yeah. What about you, Pete? How'd you feel about this issue?
Now, I really loved the issue before, but this was a little weird for me. I almost felt like the art was too good for what was going on. And what I mean by that is, like, it's in certain places, it's almost like a painting. Like, and I felt like it was hindering the action or the emotion because it was, like, trying to make things look beautiful in a way that I didn't want, which is weird. I feel like when you're having like a badass dude sitting on a throne, then paint it like a beautiful silhouette or a beautiful painting was kind of weird to me, where I felt like it pulled away from the power of the moment because the art was so beautiful.
You liked the Zero issue better than the number one issue?
That's classic. Correct. Yeah, excuse me while I set my nerd card on fire and take back everything I've ever said. Yeah, it's weird to feel that way, but that's exactly where I'm at with this.
Yeah, I like this issue. I agree with you. Valiant is such a good universe, such a fun universe to play in. This feels very much like Valiant Civil War in a way. It wasn't exactly like that for the first Harbinger Wars, but that feels like what they're setting up here. And Livewire is the main character. She shut down all of the electronics on Earth to protect these kids who have superpowers.
Psyots?
Yeah, Psyots. And it's sad. It's sad to see her on a side where all these other guys, Ninjak and Exo Matter War, fighting against her. So it actually hit me in a weird way, I think, a little harder than Civil War.
Oh, wow.
Just because, really? Yeah, just because I feel like those characters, the characters in the Marvel Universe, they're ongoing.
Valiant, they're going to make up.
Yeah, they're going to make up. Valiant, I don't know at this point. Like, they've shown a willingness to kill people and actually leave them dead and actually change them.
So, wait, this event could really change things as we
like,
know
it? Like, legit. Like, wow. I think Valiant is a universe where they're like, yes, we are a tertiary superhero universe, so we got to make big moves, and that means anybody can go at any time, and that makes it feel a little more dangerous to me.
It's a young universe. It's like back when we first started, like now we know we're never going to break up, but back in originally when we kicked out Dave,
right?
Like that was like, man, that had stakes and consequences.
Remember, how old Dave? Was I? 82, I think.
Yeah, you were much younger, Dave was a little too cool for school.
All right, let's move on to another comic book. This is from Image Comics. You may have picked it up on Free Comic Book Day, but it officially comes out this week. Barrier number one. This is from Marcos Martin and Brian K. Vaughn. It's actually a collection of a strip that was previously published on their site, Panel Syndicate.
Yeah.
I thought this was fantastic. This is really so good. I love this book.
I got this book back in the panel syndicate days, which was like maybe a year ago, maybe more actually. The art by Marcos Martín is stunning on this.
It's unbelievable.
And the way that they just, the spareness of so many of the panels, mm-hmm. is so cool.
I don't even want to say anything about it because I knew nothing about it going in. But what I will say is over the course of the book, you meet two characters on opposite sides of the border. One is a farmer who's having a rough times named Liddy, and the other
you're talking
is
about the racist white lady.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And the other one is an immigrant named Oscar who's trying to get across the border. And some stuff happens by the end.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But like you said, it's beautiful. You seem not totally sold on it.
Well, what I'd like to share is I was kind of disappointed at the beginning of it with the storytelling because of the racist blonde lady who's protecting our borders. And I was like, God, please, why is this? Why do people keep bringing this shit up? I really loved how it ended and where it went. So I was very excited about where it's going to go. And hopefully this racist white lady will realize she's being a fucking complete douchebag.
Well, let me ask you, do you think this is a pro-racism book?
No. I hope not.
What if Oscar's like, you know what? You're right. I'm bad.
That would be a bold stance for a comic book to take in this modern day and age.
Cool. Moving on from beginnings to endings, let's talk about the last issue of Batman White Knight, Batman White Knight number 8 from DC Comics. Now, we've been a little mixed, I think, on this retelling of Batman and the Joker and their whole relationship. It takes place in a world where Joker ends up being cured. He takes on the identity of Jack Napier, a failed stand-up comic, which is what he was in this reality supposed to be before. We found out there's two Harley Quinns. Gotham has been threatened. And where we left the last episode, the last issue was Batman and the Joker teaming up. How do you feel this finished up? How did you feel about the series, end of the day?
I really liked the last panel and how it ended. And I was like, oh, that's why they made this comic. But it got really muddled in the beginning. I usually am a big fan of this team, and anything they do, I'm completely on board. I don't know. I just felt like we were making choices because we've seen this world so much. Like, what if we did this? And let's do all the what ifs in one comic. And it got a little maddening, but I felt like it ended strong.
I liked this, I think, more at the beginning and for the first maybe half of it. And then I feel like I did lose a little enthusiasm as it sort of spun down.
I agree with you for the most part, but I actually like this issue a lot.
I think this issue did.
The action in this was great. And there's some, there feels like, to your point, Pete, there feels like some great payoffs in the Harley Quinn Joker relationship in particular. Yeah. That
was my favorite part of the
fantastic
whole series.
So
the
good
way the two Harleys, I thought, was a really interesting, smart choice throughout.
And there's a moment that happens throughout that in the middle that I won't spoil that felt like it could be a perfect ending to their story. It was great. It was very good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to a return, Southern Bastards number 20 from Image Comics. Pete, you want to yell at us about something?
Yep.
I bet he does.
I'm so glad. Fuck this fucking comic.
Asterisk that you love.
Nope.
What?
You don't love it anymore.
No. I love the writer. I love the artist. But this idea for this comic, I'm so done. I stopped reading this issue 3 times, but then your guys' voice got in my head and I had to go back and finish. But I wanted to just throw it the fuck away and never, because fuck that racist backwoods motherfucker, and the fact that we finally had to wait 20 issues for his daughter to show up and take care of business, and she fumbles the ball and doesn't take care of the, it was just so maddening. Fuck this whole fucking world.
Now, Pete, do you think this comic is pro-racism?
Well, if you're going to have a fucked up bad guy win and get through and get to kill all these people and then not be tortured, like, I was like, I will let this comic be all right. If
not
you would
be tortured.
You have to torture this fucking guy.
He shot several times with arrows.
Not enough. Not enough. The torment that he did on this town.
Do you know what she said at the end of the comic book?
Yes.
What did she say at the end of the comic?
It wasn't worth it. It wasn't enough, dude.
She said she's going to continue to torture him. Yes. Literally what she said.
Yeah, but like...
Her plan is like, this is... Yeah, I'm not going to kill you, I'm going to torture you.
And then
you.
She'd show up and like, fuck with him. No, I'm talking about like, he needs to be chained to a wall, tortured daily for the rest of his years. Like, fuck this fucking bad guy.
For a counterpoint, let's turn to Justin Tyler.
I love this book. This book is such a great... it takes risks. And like a reader like Pete, I don't think he's going along with it if I can parse his statements he just made, but like to put a character like Boss, like right there, is Coach Boss. He is such a good villain, and he is truly the most powerful character in this comic.
Yeah,
from a narrative point,
sick.
I know, but that's what real life is like. This is drawing on Jason Aaron's real experience growing up in the South, and like
he was the tree. The tree that Coach Boss runs into. That
I
was
love
Jason
the tackling tree moment. That was so good. And I do think there is a great point at the end. She lets him live because she's like, punishing him is not enough. The town was complicit. They let him go along.
Yeah.
She needs to change the town for the better, not just kill the problem.
No, she's wrong.
It's like... I don't know. It's like, not to talk about politics, but it's like a lot of people are like, Donald Trump is evil. But truly, America elected him. Like, you can't just get rid of him and be like, we solved our problem.
We voted for somebody else. There was a number of votes. He didn't get the most number of votes, so America didn't elect him.
I voted
he
for
was,
him.
Yeah.
He was...
Yeah, well, you're fucking 92.
I'm going to die soon.
You don't
care
about the future.
Whatever, dude. I'm going to Krypton.
Anyway, I think this book is great. You're going to Krypton? Careful. They rejected
Pete. I think this book is great, too. Before we wrap up, let's talk about another...
You guys just like reading books where, like... racist bad guys win. You think it's cool?
He
You're
did
like,
not.
Hey, this is fun. I like this. This
no,
is great.
He lost.
He did not win.
Really
no,
bad for
he's
him.
Been winning for fucking 20 issues.
Yeah, and the comic's not over. Do you ever walk out of a movie and you're like, man, Thanos won. I guess that's the last movie I'll ever see. You ever think
Let's
that?
Let's talk about another big ending. Deadpool number 300 from Marvel Comics is the end of Jerry Dugan's run. He's been writing the title longer than anybody else on Deadpool. Pete, number one Deadpool fan on the podcast, what'd you think about this issue?
This was very sad, but well done in a lot of moments. Like the fact that Jordan D. White got throat punched was like really touching.
You would want to do that for a long time.
Well, I mean, come on, that's not true. I love the guy, but I think that this was fantastic. And I feel like this was a great love letter to such a great character. And I felt very happy with how this ended.
How about you, Justin?
I mean, I'm not the biggest Deadpool guy, but this was... I like Jerry's writing, and I like the way it ended. Like, this big issue, lots to see and do. And, like, I feel like he was someone who really had time to tell different lengths of stories for this character.
Yeah.
All the way up to the very end. And an experiment, really, with a lot of the single-issue stuff they did. So, it was cool.
Yeah, I got to tell you, so the setup for the issue is that Deadpool wants to die, essentially, but he wants to go out in the biggest way possible. So,
which is understandable. He wants
sure.
to go out big,
and, yeah. and everything he's done so far has failed. So, at the beginning of the issue, he takes this thing he got during his stint at the Guardians of the Galaxy and sprays it on him, and he thinks, okay, is it going to make me invulnerable? Is it going to, you know, give me flight? Is it going to give me some powers? But it makes him smell so horribly bad to everybody else that they all vomit. And I laughed out loud several times. Like, I do not like scatological humor at all, but the way it was paced out and the way it happened and the way it just kept building and building and building.
Barf-o-rama.
It was like the Stand By Me scene, and it made me laugh several times. And I don't know the last time I've done that reading a comic book.
And that's the other thing I think about this run on this comic is like being able to combine like real great comedy with actual good superhero storytelling.
Yeah. All right, there we go. If you would like to support. Oh, yes.
I just wanted to say, I really thought I was very happy with the last two pages, like a letter to the fans. I thought that was really touching and very cool.
There you go.
Nice.
If you would like to support this show and other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in the pit. Totally free. Come on by. We'll chat about comics. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast. More, and we'll see you on the Symbiote Planet.
And as always, apologize to Dave. Like, we do miss you, but you can't come back.
Oh, poor Dave.